Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hey everyone, it's Tony Schiavone. Glad to be talking to all my slapdicks. Glad to be here with the king of slapdicks, the one and only Cassio Kid. This is Cassio's Cuts. If you want to hear my episode, it's episode 6, so go back and listen to that. Other than that, go fuck yourself.
What's up, Candy Lickers? Pleased to meet you. Nice to know me. What you doing? You listening to another edition of Cassio's Cut. And I got two of my good buddies here with me today. We got Drew Morgan and DJ Lewis. What's up, fellas?
All right. What up?
Well, I wanted to have you on. You guys have been on separately. Drew, you were on the pilot episode of Cassio's Cut. And I knew it was going to be fire when I tweeted that you were going to be on a podcast, and Drew retweeted it and said, yeah, when are we recording this thing? It's going to be hot. I said, we did it 6 months ago. It's hot. I bet it's fire then. I don't remember it.
Oh, he's drunk.
And then DJ come over and did an episode and told us about yellow legs, his chickens. So.
Yep.
So they should know you by now. If not, go back and watch those episodes. But we got to talk about you guys getting together and doing a podcast, Into the Abiscuit. What in the fuck is happening with this thing?
Yeah. I wish we knew.
Yeah.
We lost season 2. We're on season 3. We're going to put season 2 out. We found it. That's exclusive. First time revealed. On your podcast.
Yes!
We found season 2, the space season, Lost in Space. Into the Abiscuit, I call it a Southern Gothic horror comedy podcast. The idea was that, and the idea is that, in general, you know, if you do Southern comedy, and it's, I guess it's not unlike what we do on Well Read, just in a different genre. But the idea is if you do Southern comedy, you're expected to probably sometimes by a lot of people kind of be, you know, like some of my heroes. I'm not making fun of these people, but there's an expectation that you're going to talk with the thickest accent you got and only talk about gravy. And I like doing that. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But I wanted to talk about real dark stuff on my podcast. And the person I wanted to talk about it with was DJ Lewis. And it's not all dark. Sometimes it's just sort of existential and weird. But me and DJ like to smoke weed and talk about space and infinity, man. And, you know, as far as podcasts out there and books and everything else out there like that, most of the time it's just some nerd, you know, sitting
saying
in a
nerd words. Yeah.
Saying nerd words, sitting in a studio apartment or whatever, smoking weed, listening to Fish. I wanted to do it with somebody smoking weed, sitting in a trailer, listening to Fish. So,
yeah,
that's pretty much it.
It changed the viewpoint. That's what you did. You changed the viewpoint.
And also, I'll tell people, it's weird and it's different. It's a parody of a morning radio show. We do fake commercials. We also open with a story about a possum named Charles. Almost every episode, a different story.
Yeah, what's going on with Charles? We got a possum going on.
Well,
DJ, yeah. how does a possum come into this?
Oh, well, he was
not through the fucking cat door.
Yeah, nah, he well, you want the story that's going on right now with him?
Now you don't have to catch us all up. Just how does Charles the possum end up as the opener of all your podcasts?
He's just an extension of ourselves, I think, really, an extension of, like, of everybody he is. He's a working-class possum who has magical nipples and smokes weed with a Yeti, and I think we can all relate to that, especially during these times.
Smokes weed with a Yeti, like the tumbler?
No, with a Bigfoot.
Oh, a real Yeti?
Bigfoot. Yeah.
I was going too uppity there. I went fucking drink there. Y'all are going the legit Yeti, okay?
Yeah.
No, he drinks his beer out of a fucking, you know, leftover cup from 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
What makes his nipples magic?
Buddy, I wish I knew. DJ, please, if you can answer that.
Well, he went to Madame Zura,
golf possums.
To get his nipples red. they have 12.
You mean like reading, not like make them red, like thumping them.
I know. Yeah, to make his nipples red. Yeah.
I like to make my nipples red.
Yeah. I prefer mine to be a more blush color. I like, that's what I know.
They're she's just a like, psychic moth. Yeah.
Right.
Of course, she's a psychic moth.
She's a psychic moth. And red, and so she read and found out that he was, you know, the Antichrist, and there's just a lot of
standard.
Yeah, but
so far this is all standard. But
to be fair, well, he was going through a lot, and he was on drugs, and we're not even sure that really happened. He may have imagined that whole scene.
Oh, okay. No. So every episode, we get a little more of his story at the beginning. So when they tune in, I just need to. Is this one of those they probably should go back to episode one?
Possum Charles, nah.
But what about for the rest of the pod? I mean, is this something you can jump in, or should
they jump in?
Okay.
There's a couple of episodes like they have parts one and parts two, but we titled them appropriately. We're not crazy. We titled them.
We're not overthinking this, right? Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what you think is going on with this story about the possum who gets his nipples red and turns out he's an Antichrist, but it makes sense.
So season one is about what? Because season two is about space.
Yeah. I would say that season one.
Death?
I would say season three is more about death. Season one, I would say, is more about the abyss. I mean, really, the darkness that's inside.
And kind of overcoming it, too. I think it was really weird because, like, a lot of our episodes went along with the storyline, and like looking back on it, it's kind of weird because I know we were both going through some weird stuff in life and stuff, and like so was Possum Charles. You know, he got fired from his job and he was like having a hard time, and I know.
Yeah, and to be fair to your question though, I mean, I think we were all kind of doing the bit for a second there, but the honest answer is the seasons have a lot more to do with Possum Charles. In general, there's no seasons to the podcast part. Like the conversations are just conversations DJ and I have about death, about like those people who, you know, fight for the rights of people to kill themselves. We had a whole episode on that about the end of life and what you do at the end of life and should you have the right to do that. But that had nothing to do with what season we were on. The seasons really have more to do with Possum Charles.
Okay, I got you there. So they can tune in. They're going to get, you know, like you said, somewhat of a dark subject, but you guys are, hey, let's talk about this. We're all having the same thoughts and feelings and questions and the whole deal.
And I will say this. It's gotten funnier, I think, because we've gotten more comfortable with the format. And I've figured out how to just make DJ pause and just repeat to everybody what he just said. Like the other day, I found out DJ's mad at the whole Enlightenment era. Like, that's his least favorite era, Matt, if you're curious. I don't know if he's ranking him.
A lot of reasons why I'm mad at it. I didn't get to get into it, but it's still – we haven't gotten out of the Enlightenment. We're still – it's a whole thing with me.
Yeah. I think really he's just mad that he has to live during it. But
he doesn't want to be enlightened.
We've gotten better – at that, I bring that up because I will say the first season, our fans have stuck with us, but a lot of them were like, ooh, this should have came with a trigger warning. And they're not all a bunch of like, you know, I know that phrase trigger warning has made people starting to think of like 20-year-old college kids who can't stand to hear the word no or whatever. But it wasn't that as much as it was like us talking about times we were suicidal. And people going, damn, I just didn't know that on the way to work I was going to remember the 2 years of my life I was suicidal. Not mad at you, but maybe let us know that shit right next time. And we've gotten better at that, I think.
DJ, how do you feel about it?
I feel like it's great. I feel like it's good. All right.
Not the suicidal part.
Yeah, no, not the suicidal part. Just about the podcast in and of itself. It's great. It's also great to like be able to talk about things like I was having a difficult time finding a job due to my record and shit like that, and like shit just being fucked up, me being fucked up, and being able to talk about like my drug addiction, having to overcome that, and having to overcome having a felony and look for a job, and having to like finally get a job, and like having a lot of people like write me and be like, man, I needed to fucking hear that. You know what I mean? Like, I need, like, dude, it's so awesome what you're saying. Everything, you know what I mean? And, like, we support that. And, like, even if it's just, like, I feel like it's productive. Like, I don't feel like I'm just out here just, like, beat my own dick to my own, you know, drum or whatever. I guess.
I think that's how you're supposed to do it, though.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Beat your dick to your own drum.
I'm not beating my dick on a drum. But I am,
season
really.
Four.
But, yeah,
season 4. Season 4.
Yeah, but I am.
Beating our dicks on our own drums.
Yeah. Yeah. So it feels like there's it has a value that I can appreciate. Like I do love making people laugh and stuff like that, but I also like to hear that, like, to come out with something that's a little bit more personal and connect with a person like that who might be having a hard time and like be wondering like what it's all for or like whatever, and they can say, you know, hey man, I need to hear that inspirational message, or like, you know, even though you were going through having a hard time at this point in time and got through it and like proud of you, and you know, and I'm telling my friends and help me and stuff like that, man, it makes it worthwhile.
It sounds like it's almost, even if anybody's listening or not, it's more therapeutic for you just to you guys talk it out.
Yeah,
man. DJ talks about all the things he's overcome, you know, like addiction and prison. I get to talk about how sometimes I'm sad. It's really a lot that we're talking.
Sometimes I'm sad.
No, I have a tendency towards existential crisis. And yeah, people do write us in. They talk about being able to connect with various things that we've talked about. And that is pretty cool. And it's also, man, it's just fucking, it's what I wanted to do. Does that make sense? And what I mean by that is the weirdness, the stories about possums at the top, how we've made it a parody and created a whole universe in a world, in a town called Hollerville with its own businesses. We've gotten away from some of that lately. I think mostly because we know everyone's sort of consumed with the pandemic and we get sick of talking about it, but it's also like, well, what did I do this week? I sit at home. I can't go out and do comedy. I'm thinking about trying to get a job, but almost nothing's open in California and blah, blah, blah. And DJ, what'd you do this week? And he's like, well, I had to go to work at the Dollar General and fucking people are looking at me weird because I'm wearing a mask. So I'm saying all that. I might be getting a little sidetracked. My point was just creating that whole universe. It's almost like Prairie Home Companion meets the Dukes of Hazzard meets philosophy class. And I just wanted to fucking do that. And once I started doing it with DJ, it was clear to me that it was also bigger than just that little concept. It was about talking about this shit.
Let's talk about that a little bit. DJ, you know, we were kind of hitting on it before we hit record here. You took a job at Dollar General when the lockdown hit, and needless to say, I think it's been a little eye-opening for you.
Yeah, man. It's been really, I hate to be, I hate, I, and this is without without, I don't have any side in anything other than just like, you know, definitely just being able to respect the people around me. We have a lot of like older folks and people like that who come to our store who are wearing masks and gloves and stuff like that. And they definitely feel better in a store where people are being kind of cautious about their health. You know what I'm saying? And they appreciate that. And at the same time, it's hard to get around the making people uncomfortable because you're wearing a mask and stuff like that. So it's really drawn a lot of like weird like parallels in the people in our community. But you know, whatever. And I've also learned a lot about 5G in China, and I've also been I've also learned a lot about that from the people in our community. I've learned that man, when it comes to pandemics, motherfuckers got to shit. You know what I mean? They got to shit, and they will rob toilet. They don't give a fuck. You know? And that's the first. I still cannot believe that was the. Did anybody here think toilet paper when they first heard pandemic? Did either of y'all?
Did any of y'all run out?
No, never. I'm still using the same corn cob I started on.
I did have to pay like a lot for toilet. I mean, you know, not really. It was like $13, but for a package that would usually cost $4 because I bought it at a liquor store.
What?
Because Target and Walmart and the grocery store were out, and I was like, I'm not going to any more fucking stores looking for toilet paper. I'm paying $13 for this package I found at the liquor store.
That's pretty genius by the liquor store to go. Yeah, like, we'll upsell anything. Y'all buy it, we'll upsell it.
And I don't think they were – I mean, they might have been gouging. You know, I know that shit's illegal. But I think it was just like, nah, we always carry it at a premium. We're the liquor store, you know. Like,
you know, can get – getting overcharged at the liquor store.
Right. You can get blind drunk here and die and leave your family fatherless for $2. But if you need to wipe your ass, you're in the wrong store. This is the forget about what you did when you were 19 store, not the get your butthole clean store.
What's it like in Los Angeles, dude? I mean, we joke about that, but that's got to be a totally different perspective than what we're dealing with.
I mean, it is. I assume I haven't been in the South since. All right, so me, Trey, and Corey had shows in, was it Charlotte or Raleigh? Raleigh. Because I was pumped about the club. We were going to Raleigh, the Charlie Goodnights. I was on the plane when I found out the weekend was canceled. DJ Damn. And I had shows. We had a run of shows. Our first Into the Abiscuit, you know, themed run of shows planned that week. We'd sold out. God, it was going to be rad. It was going to be a rad week.
It really was.
And when the shows got canceled, I changed my flight. Of course, but I didn't go right back home. I went to my parents' house. I spent the first part of the pandemic when everyone was just starting to realize, you know, oh shit. Like normal people were just starting to realize this is very serious. And then I came back. So I'm not sure what it's like there. And people go, what's it like in LA? I mean, dude, I live in the valley. I go to the grocery store. I got a little yard. And that's it. That's my life. I'm country boying it up here. I don't leave the house. You know, we go grocery shopping. I went camping last week. The wife and I figured out if we just put all our food in the car, other than getting gas, we ain't got to see nobody anyway. So we went camping. In the middle of that, I got a hair up my ass and drove to San Francisco to buy a Bronco.
It's a sweet-ass Bronco.
Thank you. It's Bronco 2 for anyone listening. Don't come rob me. I ain't got Bronco 1 money. And I'm telling all this to say, like, I don't know what to I don't know what it's like if you're working in as an essential worker in LA. I'm sure that's wild, but for me, I walk my dog down to the park. Some people have a mask, some people don't. you know, but the fucking Honduran Basketball League is still meeting every Sunday. They're all 5'2", 45 years old, and have beer bellies. It's the funniest goddamn thing I've ever seen. They haven't stopped playing, and they're not coordinated, and they clearly have only played basketball for, like, the last 10 years of their lives, and it's amazing. And I still sit and watch them with my dog, and even he thinks it's funny.
Ball don't lie, brother. Ball don't lie.
Don't lie, dude.
Courts never stop, son. Uh-uh. It seems like L.A. Has done a pretty good job with this, though. They seem like they've got their shit together.
We're probably, though, the most spread out big city in America.
Yeah.
So if you haven't been out here, that's one thing people don't realize. We do have a downtown part. It is not that populated. I think it's one of the least populated downtown, whatever, skyscraper, big building type areas. Even our housing projects or whatever are two or three stories for the most part at most. We're just not packed on top of each other like most of America's major cities. And I really do think that's that, and it went to New York first. So by the time New York got bad, the rest of the country knew to take it seriously. And then when LA decided to take it seriously, in terms of just having space, it's just easier on us.
All right.
We also have terrible public transport, which usually is a bad thing. But when you're talking about a pandemic, it's good that everybody has a car, even the poor folk.
And then, DJ, you're just outside Chattanooga. Y'all just got end of times thrown on y'all. Y'all got the Rona, you got a tornado, you got everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's happening.
One of my favorite episodes of Into the Abiscuit is Boner at the End of the World. If you want to hear what DJ was doing when the tornado hit, listen to Boner at the End of the World. I won't give it away. I don't think you can guess what he was doing.
Is that season 3?
Yes.
Yeah.
Look at him. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah, but then
it's also a good one.
Yeah. It's also when I first found out, it's been weird. I feel like everybody in America right now is hard to not feel like everything, like end times type shit. You know what I'm saying? Regardless of like what the fucks, you kind of all like. I think everybody's just sitting around going, "Huh, what's next?" And like we've got it all. Look at it. Like this is.
Like murder hornets. We got riots.
Yeah, the cicadas are like coming back after 20 years.
17-year cicadas are about to hit because of course they are.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're just going to have locusts just everywhere, pandemonium, people.
I do need an epic battle of murder hornets versus cicadas. That'd be fire.
Oh, yeah, it would be.
I'm taking the cicadas in a
walk. Are you?
Yeah.
In a walk. Just because of numbers?
It's mostly numbers for sure, but they're tough as shit. You can't hardly kill them. I mean, when you got to like really crunch a cicada to kill it. You ever kill one of them motherfuckers? They got an exoskeleton. Murder hornets ain't got no exoskeleton. Remember that story when we were young, the first time they came through and they bored a hole in that little boy's leg and lived in there?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. What?
I know. It's nightmares. The stuff of nightmares.
Mm-hmm. Raised a family. In his leg.
Started to. It planted eggs.
Generations of locusts lived inside this little boy.
For 17 years.
Wait, is he 20 years old now? Is that why they're coming out of his body?
He's just a bust out of butthole.
And these are the kinds of things you'll learn on Into the Abiscuit. That's our news. That's our news segment.
Yeah. Yeah.
News segment.
Hey, right, What are those? Are they earworm? What the fuck are they that burrow the hole in you and then
chiggers? Sudden,
oh God, yeah, get rid of them.
Cicadas.
No, like
not locusts.
No, I've had chiggers before. You ever get a chigger on your ball sack?
Buddy, I've been ate up with them.
And then, I've been ate up with them, but not on my ball sack. that should be against the rules.
DJ, have you had one on your balls? Where's the worst place?
Goddamn, might have been all over my balls. Yeah.
Fingernail polish? What'd you do?
Yep. Clear fingernail polish.
I thought he was about to show us his balls and show us they were
chigger free. Yeah, look, have these balls ever been bit by a chigger? Yeah, they got balls like this.
Yeah, fingernail polish should get them chiggers off, son.
Yeah, it will. But it burns. Ooh.
Yeah, bro. What are you talking about? Earwigs or something? What are you talking about?
That's what I think. That's what I think it is. It's like an earwig or something, and then they blow a hole in you, and they do it to your dog too, man.
Like what?
This animal.
Your balls and your dog. There ain't nothing
fly.
Sacred.
It's a fly. It's like some sort of fly.
Blowfly. It's a blowfly.
A blowfly.
Blowfly.
Could be.
No, I know blowflies do that. You might be talking about something else, but I know blowflies will burrow a hole in you.
Yeah. And that's what it is. There.
I just Googled blowfly, and it's a damn fly fisherman thing.
Maybe it's blowfly.
Oh, look at this guy. He does not. This guy looks like he'll get in your balls and your dog. Watch this. We're gonna bring up this guy right here.
This guy wants your balls and your dog.
Look at this guy.
I just want to state for the record that I'm against it. I don't want to see it. Okay. I thought you were going to show us a video.
No. Is that what you're talking? That guy's mean.
Yeah. That thing right there will lay an egg in your ball sack. Burrow into your nuts. That's man, insects are fucking, I don't care too much for them, gotta be honest with you. Now you're gonna be getting chickens, so you're gonna have a whole lot less insects running around.
Really?
We're getting you some chickens.
Yeah, man, we got little baby chickens right now.
That rules. My niece got her some chickens and they all died while she was at her other grandparents' house. Because she splits time between the grandparents because, you know, both her parents are in the pen because it's the South. And they died while she was at the other grandparents, and she wouldn't talk to my dad for 3 days because he killed her chicken.
What? I mean, they just passed away? He didn't kill them.
No.
He didn't, we got chicken nuggets today for lunch.
Seven and a bitch. Like, it's just how it is.
DJ, what should I get ready for chickens?
Is that a casting couch?
Yeah, it is. That's the most famous couch. In That's all my
so who knows what that is.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, I knew exactly what it was.
What was it? There was a tweeter. There was a video where somebody was talking about something. God, I can't remember what it was, but it was somebody very mainstream talking about very much not porn. And then they were like, and, you know, they're sending them through the ringer, making them go to the casting couch. And I was like, I don't think that's like a common phrase outside of the porn industry.
No.
Yeah.
No, wait. Yeah. DJ, is that a virtual background or what do you got? Is that your background?
Trailer tapestry.
By the way, that's a fire tapestry.
Yeah. That's called
vapor. Yeah, it's called like retro wave or something else like that.
Wave. Trey told us all about it. Trey's very particular art movement, apparently.
Oh, that's a whole movement. That'll look right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Drive, the movie Drive.
And then, Drew, you got Joe Diffie, of course. You're still eat up, apparently.
Rest in peace, man. Yeah. Well, I used to make Diffie memes with that picture. And there's nothing better in the world to me than a Joe Diffie meme. Sometimes they can be Joe Diffie themed. You know what I mean? Like, what was the one Corey said about the wall? Trump's going to write Billy Bob Loves Charlene on that wall, goddammit. Trump 2020. I think Corey did that one. But my favorite one was with him was I don't know who killed JFK, but my favorite Kennedy was Glenn. He lived by me in college, had a pet snake.
All right, so let me ask you this. We got your backgrounds taken care of. What is the best thing you've had delivered during the lockdown? Either one of you can go first.
Well, right. I'm talking about drugs.
Anything. Just what's the best
thing? Driven to your house.
What's the best thing you've had delivered to your house during the lockdown?
I had some really fire mushrooms brought to the house.
All right.
Fantastic mushrooms.
I guess I'll say that Andy had a drug package. My wife had a drug package delivered from her friend whose name I won't name that had what he called a fun night in it for both of us. This motherfucker, I don't know what nights he's living. This is a fun month. But anyway, it was nice. I bought a pair of LeBron James in pink to match the sweatshirt I have because I was drunk, and that was what I did. And I needed new basketball shoes. And then the Most Flames meal.
Yeah.
Andy was gone. and I convinced myself it would be financially irresponsible not to get a whole large pizza and the wings and the salad with the works. I got a full-on family meal nice, like, wood-fired pizza restaurant. I spent, you can get pizza in L.A. for $10 with wings and all that for $20. I spent $60 probably on a pizza meal.
All right, what's on the pizza?
Whatever I want. I'm pretty sure I got, like, the supreme situation because I like all the vegetables. I mean, I'm fine with meat on the pizza, but I can't stand to just meat lovers. It's like, dude, just fucking make gravy and biscuits. Like, what are we doing here?
Well, you seem to agree with that, DJ.
No, I don't agree with that at all. But gravy and biscuits and meat lovers pizza, two totally different things.
They are.
I'm not saying that.
Taste is the meat. You can't taste the sauce. Okay. It's just, it ain't. I'm a one meat man.
Okay.
I think that was a Joe Diffie song, wasn't it? I'm a one meat man.
I'm a one meat man.
You can put it on my pizza if you want.
What's your go-to snack during lockdown? Is there anything blossomed like you didn't snack on before and you're like, hey, I found this is fire now?
Yes.
What?
Andy has these chocolate covered, I want to say almonds. I don't know. I've never looked at the nut. I just throw them in my mouth.
We've all been there.
Yeah. don't look at the nut. Just throw it in your mouth. I genuinely didn't mean to walk into that one.
DJ, yeah. Obviously your snack is shrooms, but besides that.
Yeah, I like the Tabasco Cheez-It / Parmesan Cheez-It mix and the Cheez-It, but I like the two together box. I find it's very, very, very fire.
Wait, they got like a house divided box and both of them are in there?
It's not divided like Nerds. You remember what Nerds used to have? It's not like that. Yeah. Remember back in the day with Nerds? That was fire.
But they're mixed in there.
Yeah, they're all mixed in there together, so you just get a great thing. My favorite snack thing that's been foolproof during this, my entire situation, throughout my life, actually, if anybody wants this, what you do is you get you a bag of popcorn, you know, extra butter movie theater style popcorn, right? You sling jalapeno Cheetos down in that, you know what I'm talking about, the jalapeno Cheetos, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
M&M's down in that motherfucker.
Yeah. M&M's?
So you get the butter, crunch, jalapeno, and the M&M all in there, and then treat yourself.
DJ, ain't you been fucking with smoked oysters?
I've been fucking a lot with smoked oysters.
Smoked oysters?
Yeah, different canned meats that I might need in the future, depending on how long this lasts.
So you're going ahead and testing foods out for Armageddon?
Yeah, for Armageddon, okay. I'm going to need to know, I'm going to need to know. I'm telling everybody, hey, man, look, stay away from that fucking halibut. You know, it's not even going to give you diarrhea. And obviously, we ain't got no toilet paper, so.
I accidentally did that with beans because I was freaking out because the first time I went to the store, there wasn't no food. So I just got all kinds of different beans, and all the good beans was gone. So I just had to get all these, second-tier beans. And if anybody was wondering, garbanzo beans are fine. Fava beans, disgusting. They smell like dog food.
Wait, that's what That's what Hannibal Lecter ate, right? He wanted some fava beans.
Yeah, he also ate people, so I guess I shouldn't trust him. What the fuck is Chianti?
Ain't it a wine or a spritzer? Something good?
Spritzer.
Red and white. Yeah. That's how I do my wine.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll fuck with pink if there's a lady around.
That is big time. All right, let's wrap this up with the countdown. They need to go check out Into the Abiscuit. We're going to hit you with 10 questions like we wrap up every single episode with. I guess we'll rotate. We'll ask 10. We go down to 1. Let either one of you want to go first for number 10. Name something that's a perfect 10 in your life.
My Bronco too.
It is pretty fire. How many miles it got on it?
100.
Oh, that's low.
Yeah, man. My dad told me that's pretty common if they did survive, because the only way they survived is if you didn't drive them a lot. You know what I mean?
All right, that makes sense.
It does.
DJ, yeah, what's
that, that makes me excited about though. The future.
Yeah. You got it right when the spark's supposed to break down. I like it. DJ, what's a perfect 10 in your life?
Dogs.
Well, you, what dogs you got currently? Because you got a good rotation.
Yeah, right now I just got Sydney. We just got Sydney.
You always come up with awesome ass dogs.
I know.
You've had a good run.
I have, man. I have. Well, you ain't doing so bad yourself, buddy. I gotta say.
I'll have some dogs. Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I don't know anybody who doesn't have a fucking awesome dog. I really don't know anybody.
I've had some asshole dogs though.
Yeah. Have you? Was it that one that Wade jacked off?
Yeah, it was. Jerry Barksia, he would. I called him a grenade with a pin pulled. You never know anybody. He bit 4 different people in the face. Not just bit, but I'm talking about in the face.
Jack him off.
He had built up tension after Wade left. All right, number 9. 9, of course, German word for no. This was a different question before the lockdown hit, but name something that's no more. Name something you're written off in 2020.
Oh, I thought we were rotating. Am I supposed to go
DJ?
First again?
Yeah, DJ?
Oh, something that I've written off?
Yeah, something that's no more.
Hope.
Hope?
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, I mean, I'll piggyback off that. We've been talking about it on the podcast. Hope, false hope is the most nihilistic shit you can have in your life.
It really is.
If you hope for something that really just definitely ain't going to come true, you're the most cynical motherfucker I've ever known. You can get the fuck away from me. So I'll say hope, and then my, just to give a different answer, my 1A or whatever is giving a fuck.
Yeah. Okay. Just about everything.
I'm fucking telling my father-in-law what I think about him and his politics. I'm fucking fighting with people on the internet, you know? And, like, I'm not one of these, like, you know, PC culture's over, fuck that, free speech. I don't want to say the F word or any of that stuff, but, like, I might say midget now. Cancel me. I don't care.
Yeah. Feels good to get that off your chest, don't it? Might say something to the midgets.
That sounded like you've been waiting to say that.
Well, honestly, it's the first thing I could think of that I felt safe. Yeah. And you know what the thing is with all those words? No, this is what the thing is. We were at the Comedy Catch for a competition. DJ, do you remember that fucking speech? We're doing a competition, and the host was like, listen, and there's no rules except don't go over your time, and you just can't say 3 words, okay? Cunt, faggot, and the N-word. And I was like, well, what the fuck was that? And I was like, oh, you think you can beat up 2 of those? You think you can whoop the ass of anyone gay or a woman? But if a black person's nearby, you can't whip their ass. So I might have accidentally just did that. I might have just been like, well, I can beat up a dwarf. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Did you see the article that came out? The guy claims he's a leprechaun whisperer. Have you seen this guy?
No.
And he's in Ireland, and he said he's counted. There's 236 leprechauns left on Earth, and they live in a mountain, and he can talk to them spiritually as an out-of-body experience. And he wanted to tell us that they have not been eaten up with corona because they're spirits. So the leprechauns are clear. So I just want y'all to know.
That is good to know. Leprechauns.
I'd take it all back. I'll never say that word again. Now I'm scared.
By the way, he fought and won in Congress to get leprechauns as a protected species.
Somebody did that with fairies over there, too. No. I don't know what's going on in Ireland, but we're all like, oh, they just get drunk and they're happy. It's like, nah, they're nuts, dude.
Yeah.
He said he's counted. There's 236, so they're protected. A fairy preserve.
Swear to God. My wife told me about it. There's like this.
They were evil, though. Aren't fairies kind of evil?
I think that's a bar in Hollywood. Dude, I think the fairy preserve.
There's this farm where, like, passed down for generations, there's like one person in the family who can see them. It's crazy, dude. Irish people. Everyone acts like they're sweet and just fun drunks. They're nuts, and that's my people.
Is it like a spring, like in Legend of Zelda, where all the fairies and you can go catch them in the jar? Right there,
and only one guy can see them.
That's strong. That's the leprechaun guy. He said he's the only one that could talk to him. And they're inside the mountain. Number eight, what do you want to be for your last meal? You know what's your last meal on earth? What's the last thing you ate?
Fried chicken, biscuits, and gravy with homemade apple butter.
What? So well, we need to specify. Is that made by somebody? Is that from a restaurant? Who's getting you the chicken?
Is it magic? Like, my mama is deceased, but, like, okay. can she make it in this world we're living in? Why not?
We got a possum with magic nipples, and we got fairy fountains.
Mama Ding Ding's fried chicken, biscuits, and gravy, and apple butter.
She makes the apple butter, too?
Yeah, she does.
That's fire.
Mama Ding Ding makes it all. The apple butter, the food, you feel like shit sometimes. Like, she does it all.
What are you drinking with it?
Oh, man, I didn't think about that. I mean, I'd probably have milk because I like having milk with my biscuits and gravy. And then I'd probably have sweet tea, too.
I mean, it's your last meal. You can have as many drinks as you want. DJ?
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably have beer now that I think about it.
A lot of it.
DJ, what's your last meal?
I'd like to go get electrocuted hungover. So bring me a bottle of fucking whiskey and just the heart of the fucking prosecutor.
DJ, I realize last meal is a thing in prison culture, but we didn't mean to take you back, dude. I think Matt just means, like, you know, you've lived a good life and you know that tomorrow it's coming. DJ's like,
I thought we were talking about the last.
Bring me the head of my enemies.
Yeah, yeah. I feed off vengeance is what.
It's like we're about to go on death row. This is our last meal.
Whiskey and the heart of a prosecutor. My favorite is he didn't want the victim that put him in there. He wanted the prosecutor.
Because he did that shit.
Yes.
He just didn't deserve the full life.
He's punishing the guy that proved that he did it. All right, I like it.
And he didn't deserve to die. He should have got 10 to 15.
Matt,
anyone who is at all listening and becomes interested into the biscuit, we just changed the name to Whiskey in the Heart of a Prosecutor.
That's season 4 right there. 7. What'd you want to be when you grew up, when you were 7 years old? What'd you want to be?
In the NBA.
You wanted to be a basketball player?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I thought you were a football dude, though.
I ended up being better at football because I'm stocky and short and fast. So that's why I went to college to play football, because they asked me to. They didn't ask me to play basketball, but I was better at basketball by a lot.
So as a kid, you were who was your – I mean, I guess it's got to be Jordan, but I was going to say, who was your fave?
No, it was Sean Kemp, because I liked the way he dunked.
Yeah.
And the guy that I wanted to be most like, it was various point guards. I think it started with Jason Kidd, then it was Steve Nash, then it was Chris Paul.
Damn, son. Nice. What about you, DJ? What did you want to be when you grew up?
Comic.
So your dad was in the business.
Yeah.
That's strong. Well, that's a nice run there then you had. All right, number 6. How do you want to end up 6 feet under? How do you want to die, since you guys approach that all the time? DJ?
Just
how do you want to go out?
Probably some kind of drug overdose, something cool like that. Something not where your heart explodes, but something where you kind of like faint out, you kind of get like a good warm rush, and then you fucking go. Heroin sounds nice. I'll go heroin.
That whiskey in the heart of a lawyer was pretty fucking dope.
Yeah.
And then get electrocuted. That was pretty fire.
I want to go out sleeping on some titties.
Sleeping on some titties.
Yeah,
nice.
Like I want to die. I fall asleep on some titties and then just not wake up. Maybe the titties smother me. Maybe a nipple asphyxiates me.
Yeah.
It's a pretty strong way. Nobody can complain about going out like that. All right,
hey,
number
can I tell you real quick?
What?
This is a question for you. What's the worst way to die?
Worst way is being a prosecutor of DJ's case. I always saw alligators worse, because you think you're gonna get eaten to death, but you're really drowning. because he's fucking doing that death roll on you. That's I don't want no fucking part of that.
Dude, a goddamn mountain lion will goddamn grab hold to you, tear you off in a tree, and like try to smother you up in a goddamn tree or break your neck, motherfuckers.
I'm like,
those are good answers.
Here's what you get mad? He was mad at somebody.
That mountain lion. He's mad at that mountain lion, dude.
He called mountain lions motherfuckers. What about you, Drew?
The worst way to die would be if you were out at sea and you were drowning, but then you found like a plank of wood, so you weren't drowning, but now you're just floating and you're starting to thirst to death, and that's how you're gonna go out. But then somehow you find water, and now you think you're gonna starve to death because it's been like 3 weeks. And then before that happens, a shark comes by and it bites your leg off, so now you're bleeding to death. But then a rescue helicopter comes down and it swoops you up, and you're like, "Oh, I'm gonna survive." But then it explodes and you're caught on fire, so now you're gonna burn to death. Then you fall out of the helicopter, it puts the fire out. Someone comes and rescues you. You live to be really old, but none of your hopes and dreams come true, and you die alone. That's the worst way to die. You got nobody to tell your cool shark story to?
I think that was a John Prine song, wasn't it? A hole in the bottom of the lake. You just kept building on that motherfucker. That was strong. All right, number five-figure discount. What's the last thing you stole?
Whatever was at the bottom of my shopping cart. I pull that move. I don't tell them there's anything down there. If they see it.
Oh, the little undercarriage.
Yeah, I think it was dog food the last time.
Wait, do you do it on purpose?
Yeah, I just don't tell them.
Okay.
If they see it, they see it. I just, because then you can, you know, plausible deniability. I do that every time. And during the pandemic, I try to tip them. I try to tip the cashier whatever I stole.
Oh.
So if I steal $20 worth of dog food and I tip them a 20, and then I just feel like I'm not stealing, I'm diversifying my shopping funds.
And now they're not going to snitch on you.
Well, I've thought about that. Like, if it looks like I'm paying them off. But I don't think it does.
Mm.
The idea is that they don't even know.
I didn't know you were a regular thief. I didn't see that coming.
I don't know if it's regular. I don't grocery shop very often.
DJ, what's the last thing you stole?
It had to have been something from the grocery store when I was going to the self checkout. Like, I don't just be scanning everything.
You know, but how do you put it on there? It'll tell you the weight's off.
Dude, it's been. I mean, you don't have to put it in a thing. You just keep it in your buggy and run it through that way. You don't have to put it in the way.
Also, that feature's been broke a long time.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's been going.
They haven't updated the software at all.
Oh, some vegetables? Dog, I ain't weighing up no fucking vegetables. I'm going to boop, boop, boop and get the fuck out of there, dude.
Are you getting, fancy vegetables and claiming they're the cheap ones?
Like asparagus or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Put it on for apple, you know?
Everything's an onion.
Yeah, everything's an onion.
You can do that shit with steak, too.
With steak?
Yeah, don't ring it in. Just beep it in. Like, just say, oh, this is apples. I got 2 pounds worth of apples, bitch.
Or just don't scan it. I mean, I've plenty of times just, like, went straight from the thing. Especially if there are other people around me, went straight from the thing. Just kept on acting like I was doing the damn thing. Yep. Oh, yeah, scan it one time, ask me for it to scan again like it didn't get it. That's going in thing, and I'm just going to press a button to rescan and scan the next thing.
I got to say, too, I'm offended that you said that I'm a regular thief. That, it ain't stealing if you're stealing from a big-ass grocery chain. Come on, dude. You just giving back.
I got you.
Yeah. Yeah. Stealing
you
from
did
the
get rip. Back to the checkout person.
And even if it's me, I'm poor, too. Fuck them.
That, man. Yeah, man. It's like, what? You didn't want me to have this asparagus? Just be out here when you
I wouldn't steal from Bill's grocery store.
Yeah.
Going big chains.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's big how I feel only. About rap and stealing. Big chains.
Big chains. All right. Number four. I think we talked about it, DJ, for sure. We didn't hit you, Drew, when you were on Mount Rushmore, Little Debbie's top four.
Well, see, okay, I thought that's what you meant. You sent this picture what you sent me says number four, Mount Rushmore of Debbie's. And in my mind, I was like, well, number one is Lil Debbie. And then I don't know Debbie.
You know any other Debbie's?
Debbie Gibson.
Debbie Joyner was my mom's friend. She died of diabetes.
All right, wait. Before we go snack and cakes, let's really talk this through. What's the top four Debbies of all time?
Then I found Debbie Gibson, and then I Debbie Joyner was my mom's friend. That's what I came. She died of diabetes, but she used to give me candy.
There was a Debbie that fucked a lot. There was a Debbie that did a lot of porn movies. Like
yeah, Debbie does Dallas.
Oh, Debbie does Dallas.
Yeah.
All right, I googled famous Debbies, and I got Debbie Gibson, Debbie Reynolds, and Debbie Harry.
Debbie Harry.
That's Blondie, right?
I think it's Lil Debbie, Debbie Joyner, my mom's friend, gave me candy, died of diabetes, Debbie does Dallas, and Debbie from Blondie.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's strong.
That's it.
But all right, but to do what
snack cakes.
Yeah. Dude, I'm a classic man. It's fig bars.
Okay.
It's oatmeal
fig
cream.
Bars.
Yeah.
You're the first there.
Yeah.
Okay. It's oatmeal cream. Mm-hmm. It's Swiss rolls. And then I'm trying to decide if it's fudge rounds. Or don't they have a version of moon pies? They call them like marshmallow cream or something.
Yes.
I'll put that.
Really? You and a bunch of wild cards.
What about Choco Gels? Do a lot of people say Choco Gels?
Choco Gels?
Yeah.
I don't even know what Choco Gels are.
You know, I never had it's a little Debbie that's got the chocolate on the outside. You bite into it, it's got the little jelly filling.
Like a jelly donut?
Choco Gels.
I think they're just called jelly rolls.
No, it's like a pie, dog. It ain't like a roll. It's like a pie. That's got the chocolate on the outside. Choco Gels.
They got I'm looking it up. They got a chocolate pie.
They got a Choco Gels. We might have just got them in prison. That might
be. I was gonna say, y'all got Save-A-Lot brand, because I've done that before too, where I'm like, yeah, man, my favorite, I like the cream horns, and then I realized.
Yeah, they got, you know, they got Hostess and Tasty Cake. Is this what you're talking about?
No, it's a Choco Gel, G-E-L. Choco Gel. It's got a.
I like how he spelled it. Like, you might think he meant jail, right, where you go and the prosecutor must get his heart eaten out.
Choco Gel.
Oh, I'll try it. No, real fast.
No.
Maybe in my own mind, Choco.
I see Choco Taco.
Choco Gel, man.
I Google Choco Gel. No, nothing's coming up.
That's it. Little Debbie, jelly cream. Oh, the Choco Gel. Jelly cream pies were called Choco Gels.
I said.
With a J.
He said jelly roll.
Oh, it's a jelly roll.
Yeah, you said jelly roll.
No, I think it's the same thing.
Look, here it is. Little Debbie jelly pie. Look, here's a little picture of them. Look.
I remember them jelly cream pies. Oh, they're pretty good, man.
But anyways, they hit, and my daddy used to listen to Roy Orbison. Late at night, be singing drunk, eating Choco Gel and a thing of water.
That's one out of the four. What else?
Oh, fudge rounds. Can't fuck around without a fudge round.
Okay.
I like the Christmas cookies. Fucking hit hard.
Christmas
for me.
Trees.
Yeah. Not the trees. Not the.
These cake. Are the Christmas tree cakes over here. You're talking about cookies.
Yeah, I'm talking about the cookies. The cookies hit. And then also their fake-ass Twix hit hard for me.
Oh, yeah, the peanut butter bars.
Yeah, the peanut butter bars hit hard.
Fake-ass Twix.
Yeah, the fake-ass, yeah. I guess that's four.
That's four. We're gonna call you out on Choco Gels. We got to get the bottom of that. All right, number three albums on a deserted island. So I always make sure everybody knows this doesn't mean they're your favorite albums ever. You're going – only these three on repeat for the rest of your life. So you might want a compilation. You might want a live album. What do you got? You might want, this is what I call Pop 27.
Led Zeppelin's BBC Sessions would have to be.
Okay.
And then probably Boston, just because I've been listening to that show.
Boston?
Yeah, well, okay. I'd have to pick all live or double albums or something like that. Probably, and then probably Leon Russell's Carney.
Oh, it's a good album.
It's fire album.
Drew Morgan.
Man, I hate this question.
Just because, like, you got to narrow it down?
Because, yeah, it would be so mean to make somebody, you know what I mean?
Just pick your three. No, there's instant regret, by the way.
Yeah, I'm already upset.
Once you get through the three, you're going to go, I really shouldn't have left that out.
We were on a podcast that made us draft Southern comedians the other day. And boy, you talk about me not wanting that to go out.
What was that on? Was that Real Red?
No, that was on the Reckon podcast, Reckon Alabama.
Okay.
It's kind of like Bitter Southern, but it's new and in Alabama. All right, I think Kings of Leon, the Aha Shake Heartbreak one.
Okay, great album.
One of their first ones, and I can't.
Is that Molly's Chambers and all that?
Yeah, and I never get tired of it, and it makes me feel nostalgic. You know, that's my old man record. That's my – you don't even know, kids. Sex on Fire is garbage.
Yeah.
But back in the day.
They sold out.
And it makes me feel good. I think Aquem and I would be what I choose. Yeah, I think that's my favorite. That's my favorite repeat listen to the whole album, rap album. Rap's weird for me because I love the Outkast because they're halfway in between like bops and like fun rap and serious rap. And if I listen to too much of one or the other, like I can only listen to 2 Chainz for so long and then I want something that has some more substance to it. Actually, he's a bad example because he's been getting more substanceful, but you know what I'm saying. And then I got to have a woman's voice.
Ooh.
If I'm going to be stuck on an island, you know, especially
that's
if I'm
thought.
Without a woman who can sing.
Right.
And right now, the album that, I mean, I've been doing this album for 3 years. She has a new album, and I still listen to this old one. Angel Olsen has an album called My Woman, and her voice.
Does it?
Oh, my God.
You here for it?
Buddy. I'm here for it. I'm here under it. I'm in it. I'm with it. I don't want
Angel Olsen.
Yeah. Yeah, the way I discovered her, Sturgill Simpson was talking about his favorite music on an interview, who it's hard to leave my man off this list. Yeah. But he was talking about her. He was talking about music he liked in an interview, and he listed a bunch of shit I'm familiar with, and I wasn't familiar with her. And My Woman was the newest album at that point. It was about a year old. And I listened to it so much, Andy gets jealous. She also happens to be very hot.
Then there's that.
Yeah. I didn't know that. I mean, you could tell. But I didn't know that. And I got to say, too, St. Vincent has an album called Mass Education that was close. It's hard to figure out.
You're going with it.
It's hard for me to pick. Yeah.
I like those three. I got to check out Angel Olsen now. You've sold the hell out of her.
Your voice, man.
All right, number two, if you were a wrestler, who would be your tag team partner?
Do I have to pick a wrestler?
No.
If I have to pick a wrestler, it's Ric Flair. If I don't, it's the Ghost of Joe Diffie.
Wait, you don't even want him as Joe Diffie. You want the Ghost of Joe Diffie.
Yeah, propped up beside the jukebox, son.
All right, DJ.
Man, I'm thinking – probably like, I know it'd be real weird, but probably somebody who, you know, I could have a lot of like drama, but at the same time, like, I feel like we'd get the job done and do whatever it took. Maybe somebody like Alex Jones, who I don't necessarily agree with, but who I find extremely entertaining and also.
Well, he'll fight you too.
Huh?
He'll fight you too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, he's going to. Yeah, as a matter of fact, he's going to get more – he's going to be more into it than I ever will. You know what
I'm saying? Yeah, he's
ready. I'll just fucking gaslight his ass and just fucking
– gaslight.
Say about goddamn Korean, buddy, you better go get him. You know what I mean? Somebody like that. Somebody that I don't mind sending out and end up getting fucked up.
DJ will never tag in. Alex has been getting his ass whooped. He's like, no.
Yeah, I think
I want to change
you
my –
you got this, Alex. Get in there. Jones.
I'm going to change mine to Angel Olsen. Marty's going to be fired. Dude. Yeah. I'm going to watch her fight and never tag in. Number one, one and done, We need your best concert you've ever been to. And then on the flip side, if you want to shit on somebody, worst concert you've ever been to. DJ?
Best concert, that's a hard one. Tom Morello fucking blew me the fuck away, and that was like the last concert I saw. So I'm going to go with Tom Morello, probably. I mean, there's no way I could pick. But did I know that.
Huh? Did he bring guests with him, or was he solo the whole time?
He was solo the whole time, and it was
fire.
It was fire. Even though, man, I tell you, man, Pussifer, anyways, yeah, probably Pussifer. So, I don't know, man. I'm just going to say Tom Morello. I feel like less people have seen him, and I feel like I just want
to. Where'd you see Morello at?
Down here in Chattanooga at the
War Memorial?
Nah. I forgot what
Tivoli?
Nah. No, it's a newer place that just opened.
Oh.
Worst concert I ever saw was Vanilla Ice.
Really? What year?
Yeah.
Was he prime?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I wish it would have been 2015.
I did too. That's what I thought he was going to say.
Yeah, I'm like 12 or 13. He's at the UTC Arena.
He wasn't in Home Improvement Ice then. He was real straight up Vanilla Ice.
Oh yeah, he was doing it, and it was
bad.
Now, of course, I'm not a great judge of music, but I know, like, for most of the concert, he just fucked the stage and didn't even rap. Now, he danced a little bit, but, like, it was really bad.
So he dicked around and then did Ice Ice Baby and went home.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. You remember that song, Wiggle It Just a Little Bit? Mm. Y'all know that song?
Yeah.
Yeah, those dudes opened up for him, and they were fire. I remember being a little young house going, God, there's booty everywhere.
The Wiglet wait, do they have girls on stage?
Oh, yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
All right, Drew, best or worst?
This is harder than the album.
Mm.
I mean, at some point, all the good concerts you've been to, you're not just comparing the show, you're comparing the experience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Me, DJ, Andrea, and Andy saw the Outcast at a music festival in New York, and that was such a fun experience. And I wanted to see them, and I didn't think I ever would. They had stopped touring, and I didn't think I'd – and that was great. Me and Andy saw the Avett Brothers when we were falling in love and just getting to know each other at Bonnaroo. Me and Corey saw Pearl Jam at Bonnaroo on Mushrooms, and we lost each other. We were only like 60 feet apart, but then we found each other, and it was incredible. So fucked up. I think I'll go with Outkast with DJ, Andy, Andrea. The whole experience, the whole weekend was rad. My worst concert ever, it's not even close, hands down, it's the worst thing I've ever seen. My understanding is they've tried to improve upon it. Do you know the band The Lumineers?
Yeah.
They got famous real quick.
Okay.
So that's supposedly why this is the case, but it is like kind of known that they were fucking awful live. They were at Bonnaroo, and when I tell you hordes of people halfway through the first song were just like, we got to get the fuck out of here.
Oh, no.
They were on the second biggest stage, and by the end of it, I walked back by it on my way just because I didn't know. I had no plan at that point because they sucked. I didn't know where to go. There might have been 200 people there.
Out of thousands.
Garbage. And like I said, I've heard they've improved. And I dug that little poppy hand clap old-timey music thing they were doing. Hey, ho. I don't think you're right. I dug that shit. But live, it was garbage.
There was nobody clapping at the show.
No, it was hey, ho, let's go.
More let's go and let's say, yo.
Yeah.
All right. Fellas, thank you guys, man. I appreciate it. Had a blast. Glad everybody's doing okay in your camps. And everybody go check out Into the Abiscuit. One of y'all tell them where they can listen to it.
You can listen to it on Stitcher,
everywhere.
Spotify, Apple. I think that's it.
Follow them on social media, Twitter, at Into the Abiscuit. Drew Morgan, DJ Lewis. Appreciate it, fellas.
Much love, buddy.
As we say every time, we better stop before we get embarrassed. And adios, muchachos. That's the way I wanna be. I'll be a white stripe.
I've been telling you for a long time that SaveWithConrad.com can save you money, but don't take my word for it.
Now, James, what made you come to Save with Conrad in the first place?
I needed a refi. I've been listening to Conrad's show for a couple of years. It was very competitive with what I was seeing locally and with my current lender, so I just decided to throw my business at Conrad.
Was there anything specific that Conrad said on the shows that kind of made you take that first step?
Interest rates are historically low, and 2 months without a mortgage payment seemed a really good deal.
Off the top of your head, how much money were you able to save through Save with Conrad?
Man, I don't know what the overall savings going to be. I needed the cash out to cover some other outstanding debts, and the rate I dropped, I was able to drop the rate down by almost a point, and basically keep my same payment but cash out enough to cover those outstanding debts and have a little left over for a rainy day.
Oh, that's great.
It's pouring down rain here.
Would you recommend Save with Conrad to any of your friends or family?
Oh, sure.
So what are you waiting for? Find out how much money you can save right now for free. You don't need perfect credit or money out of your pocket. Even credit scores in the 500s can be approved. And if we can't save you money, we won't waste your time. But because we're licensed in more than 40 states, we can help more families than ever before. Find out how much money you can save right now for free at SaveWithConrad.com. Oh, and did I mention you could skip your next two house payments? Hurry to SaveWithConrad.com.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.